Nehemiah chapter 8, and our text for this morning is found there in the 10th verse. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10. Then he said unto them, that is Nehemiah, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto the Lord, neither be ye sorry. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. And that is our text for this morning. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. The theme of the two books, Ezra and Nehemiah, is one of revival. Revival because the 70 years of captivity have ended. And now the children of Israel are making their return to Jerusalem. But it was a very different city they returned to than the one they left. The temple had been destroyed by the invading Babylonish armies. And the walls around the city had been broken down. The gates were burned. Now in the book of Ezra we read about the temple being raised up again, being revived. And then Nehemiah was moved by the Lord to build again the walls, which when completed, his enemies perceived that this work was wrought of God. Nehemiah 6 and verse 16. Now revival, of course, is indeed the work of God. And not only could it be seen in the raising up of the temple and the repairing of the walls, but this revival affected the hearts and the minds of the returning people. And this chapter demonstrates for us the importance and the role that the Word of God plays in revival. The part that the Word of God has in revival, in any true spiritual awakening, the Word of God is central. Notice how the people whose hearts have been touched by the Lord first of all called for the Word. The Lord was obviously working in the hearts of the people because they had a hunger for God's truth. You read there in the opening verses. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man in the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book. So this was the request, the desire of the people themselves. For the word of God, they asked if Ezra would bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. Then we read, and Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding. The reference there is to children. And it is important and it is good to have children under the sound of the word of God. And they brought the word, or Ezra brought the word, upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate, from the morning until midday, before the men and women and those that could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And I remember this was a time of revival. And here we can see that the people had a hunger for the word. And they were attentive to the word. Things of time and sense did not seem to be important anymore. As they stood for 6 hours, listening to Ezra read the word of God. And the word of God now became their food and their drink. Do we not need revival today? A revival of the hearing and hungering for the word of God. That's how you know when the revival is a genuine work of God. There is a desire for the word. There's a hunger for the truth. If you've ever read about the 1859 revival in Ulster, or the revival in the Isle of Lewis, it seemed as though to the people that things of time and sense didn't matter anymore. Men and women would spend hours and hours and hours listening to the preaching of the word. They forgot about their places of employment. They forgot about going into the fields and plowing and sowing. They were listening to the word that a hunger for the truth. That's the mark of true revival. Notice that when Ezra read the word, and then the sense was given that the people were then convicted by the word. They were convicted, for we read in verse 9, where we've commenced our reading this morning, that the people did mourn and they wept, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. The word of the Lord had pricked their hearts and their consciences. This is the power of the word. Paul has told us in Hebrews 4 verse 12, the word of God is quick. You know the word quick means living. The word of God is a living word. And it is powerful. It is quick and powerful than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The word of God gets right to the heart of the hearer, as it did in Ezra's day and the days of Nehemiah. And Ezra witnessed the power of the living word of God. For as he read from the book, the people were smitten and convicted about their sin and the things they had neglected for so long being in captivity. And that was all brought home to them again. And they were reminded of their neglect and their backsliding. And the word of God melted them to tears. The light of God's word had exposed their faults and their failings and their sins. And that led to their contrition, their brokenness. They mourned and wept over their sin, as we have just read there in verse 9. When the word of God reveals our sin, believer, we have every right to mourn and to weep and be sorry for our sin. Because we've sinned against God. We've sinned against our Savior. We have grieved the Holy Spirit. We have every right to mourn and to weep. But then, excessive mourning and weeping is not good either. And Nehemiah could see that that's what was happening amongst the people there after they listened to Ezra read the word and give the sense. And so we find in verse 10 Nehemiah then said unto them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto the Lord. Neither be ye sorry. You've been convicted. You have wept over your sin. Now it's time to rejoice. And Nehemiah goes on to say, neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Now Nehemiah encourages the people to rejoice and to think about the Lord, because that will bring joy to their hearts. And the joy of the Lord would be their strength. And so therefore Nehemiah says, be not sorry anymore. Dear child of God, the joy of the Lord is our strength. What did Nehemiah mean when he talked about the joy of the Lord? Do we possess that joy? Do we have the joy of the Lord in our hearts this morning? Let us first of all consider the joy of the Lord and its source. Of course, we know there is a joy that is to be found in the world that could hardly be described as the joy of the Lord. Solomon in Proverbs 15 verse 21 said, folly is joy to him that is destitute of wisdom. Folly is joy to him that is destitute of wisdom. Sin is folly. And yet the world runs after sin in the hope of obtaining some little grain of joy, some enjoyment, some pleasure in this world. But the child of God has the joy of the Lord. And that joy comes, first of all, from pardoned sin. The ungodly, we are told, enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Hebrews 11 verse 24. And so Paul there is confessing that there are pleasures to be found in sin. There's joy in sin. But they're short-lived. The pleasures of sin are only for a season. Far from bringing true joy and happiness to men, the fruit of sin is sorrow and woe. Sorrow and woe that can be seen in broken lives, broken homes and broken hearts. And what has the sinner to look forward to? What are his prospects? What is it that awaits him? He awaits a meeting with a holy God. A holy God who hates sin and must and will judge sin and will one day say to that sinner, depart from me into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. But what if that sin could be removed? What if that sin could be taken away? What if man could be pardoned and their sins forgiven? Would that not joy? Would that not bring joy to their hearts? Would that not bring joy to the soul? Of course it would. Many of us here have already experienced that. The Lord has taken away our sin. He's put our sins under His blood. And oh, the joy that the pardoned sinner receives when he repents of his sin and has his sins blotted out and covered beneath the blood of Christ. It is that joy that David spoke about and lamented that he had lost. Restore unto me, he said, the joy of my salvation. That's what it is. The joy of the Lord comes from salvation. The joy of salvation is the joy of the Lord. It is that which the prophet Habakkuk spoke about in his prophecy. Habakkuk 3 verse 18, he said, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Habakkuk had the joy of the Lord. Habakkuk experienced the joy of salvation. You see, where sin brings sorrow and condemnation, salvation brings joy. And for all who have experienced God's salvation, they know what the psalmist meant when he said, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed means happy. Happy is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Have you ever seen someone who has just found the Lord, has just been saved? You see the difference immediately. You see it in their countenance. Where before there was a sadness in their eyes and in their countenance, now there's joy. That was brought home to me a number of years ago. And I was the chaplain in the Mayor's prison outside Belfast. In the 8 blocks of the prison there was housed the men that were known as the Butcher Gang. They would go out and get intoxicated and then drive into Roman Catholic areas and pick up a Roman Catholic and slit their throats. And this is what they would do. That's what they did. That's why they're called the Butcher Gang. The leader of that gang was a man called Bobby Bates. He was their commander. And Bobby Bates was arrested along with the rest of the gang and tried and sentenced to life in prison. Bobby Bates was convicted of 16 murders. He and the other gang would attend the services that we conducted there. I would go and visit these men along with other prisoners during the week. And one Friday night, as I was went to conduct the Bible class, before it started, Bobby came to me and he says, would you pray for my granddaughter, Stephanie? She's in the Royal Victoria Hospital, seriously ill. Would you pray for her? And he stood there with a tear streaming down his cheeks. He was a man who had the blood of 16 victims on his hands. And he was standing crying over his granddaughter. I said, certainly I'll pray for her and I'll go and visit her. Went the next morning to the hospital to visit her. On the Monday morning I received a call from the prison to say that Bobby had been transferred to Crumlin Road Prison in Belfast. And would I go and see him? I went later on that day to Crumlin Road and went in and waited in the waiting area. And I could hear Bobby's voice. as he came along the corridor. And he walked in through the door. And I saw Bobby Bates as a different man. I could not believe the change. And he came in with a Bible under his arm. He was clean shaven where before he most certainly wasn't. He'd got his hair cut. He was all dressed up. But the change was in his heart. Because over that weekend he had got saved. A man guilty of 16 murders, God in his grace had saved him. And I wish I could describe the change in that man's countenance. It was unbelievable. He had the joy of the Lord. And where he was always fighting with the prison officers, I could hear him, as I say, come down the corridor, and he was saying good morning to them. And I could hear him laughing. Because the great weight of sin had been lifted. He had the joy of the Lord. So it is to know the Lord. You have the joy of the Lord in your heart. It is the joy of having new life in Christ. Being a partner, being a partaker of His joy, the Lord's joy, becomes our joy. And it is that joy which is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy that comes from pardoned sin. That's its source. The joy of the Lord not only comes through pardoned sin, but also from a knowledge of a personal Savior. Knowing Christ as our personal Savior is knowing the joy of the Lord. In 1 Peter chapter 1, in verse 7 we read that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, ye love. In whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. At this moment we can only see him by faith. We know him by faith. For by grace are ye saved through faith. Seeing him by faith. Knowing him by faith. Knowing that in him we have a personal Savior. Brings joy to our hearts. As Peter said, yes, joy unspeakable. And full of glory. Believer, do we know what Peter was talking about? Do we have this joy that is unspeakable? And full of glory. A joy that we just cannot describe. Is that our joy today? A joy that is full of glory. Comes through having Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Just the thought of it will bring joy to our hearts. And all that we have in Him and all that is His is ours. And that should bring joy to our hearts. Think about the Lord's presence. The Lord's presence. If we're in the Lord's presence, if we're in the presence of our personal Savior, what does that do for us? David tells us, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence, in the presence of our personal Savior, in the presence of the one who pardoned our sin, in thy presence is fullness of joy. And at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore." Do you ever think about the joy that Enoch must have had as he walked with God every day, walked every day in the presence of his personal Savior? What joy and what pleasures were the portion of Enoch. There's the joy of the Lord's presence. There's the joy, surely, of being in the Lord's house. We sang that psalm this morning, Psalm 122. "I was glad when they said unto me," I was glad, I was filled with joy "when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." Why does the being in the Lord's house give us so much joy? Because it's his house. It's the house of our personal Savior. We enjoy visiting our friends. We go into their house and it's a time of joy and fellowship. But how much more when we're in the Lord's house, his house. And being in his house, we're in his presence. And what about the Lord's day? Isn't that what Nehemiah said? "This day is holy unto the Lord your God." And here we are, a believer, in the Lord's house, in the Lord's presence, on the Lord's day. Gee, you couldn't get anything better than that. This is the day. This is the day the Lord hath made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. Because it's the Lord's day. And we're in the Lord's house. And we're in the Lord's presence. Oh, what joy is the experience of the Christian. Are we rejoicing today in the Lord's presence? Are we glad to be in the Lord's house? Does it fill us with joy that this is the Lord's day? It's all to do with the joy of the Lord. If you have the joy of the Lord in your heart, then you'll enjoy the Lord's presence, and you'll enjoy the Lord's house, and you'll enjoy the Lord's day. Then notice something else. The joy of the Lord not only comes from pardoned sin and a personal Savior, but the precepts of Scripture. Look here at the connection between the joy of the Lord and the Word of God. There in verse 12, "And all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth because they had understood the words that were declared unto them." They went their way and made great mirth because they understood the words. You see, the word of God had been read to them and explained to them. And because of that, they were glad. And Nehemiah reminds them of that. You have the joy of the Lord in your heart. The joy of the Lord is your strength. They had understood the words that were declared unto them. You see, believer, when you have the joy of the Lord in your heart, the Word of God only adds to that joy. It only adds fuel, as it were, to the fire of joy that burns in your heart. What did the Lord Jesus say about the Word and joy? In John 15. In John chapter 15 and verse 11. The Lord said to his disciples, "These things have I spoken unto you. I have given you the word, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. I have spoken these things unto you that my joy might remain in you." There it is, believer. There's the joy of the Lord. It's the Lord's joy that He has given to us. And when we give attention to the Word and study the Word and meditate on the Word, the Lord's joy remains in us. And the Lord says, "I have spoken these things unto you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full." Full. See the connection again between the Word of God and the joy of the Lord. The Lord was saying, "You have joy, but I want to ensure that your cup of joy is full to the brim. And so I've given you the Word." Believe you can't do without the Word. Do without the Word. Neglect the study of the Word. Neglect meditating on the Word, and you'll soon lose your joy. And you'll be praying then with David, "Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. I've lost the joy." Can we say with the Thessalonian believers, when the word was declared unto them, 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 6, "And ye became followers of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy in the Holy Ghost." They received the word of God with joy. Listen to what Jeremiah said. Jeremiah 15 verse 16. The prophet said, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and the rejoicing of mine heart." Thy word was the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. Is it the joy and the rejoicing of our hearts? Does the word of God mean the same to us as it did to Jeremiah? Does the word of God mean the same to us as it did to the Thessalonians? They received the word with joy. So there's the joy of the Lord and its source. With the joy of the Lord and our service. You will notice that in the relation to the joy of the Lord, that service is involved. Verse 10 again. "Then he said unto them, Go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Service is mentioned there in verse 10. They were to bear a portion to those for whom nothing had been prepared. And is it not a joy to serve the Lord? Isn't it a joy to serve our personal Savior? To bear the portion to those for whom nothing is prepared, to visit the sick, to comfort the mourner, to aid the poor, to instruct the ignorant in the things of God. Do these things not bring joy to our hearts? The joy of serving the Lord. The Lord has given us talents. And He has. He's given every one of us, every believer, the Lord has given talents to us all. To some one, to others two, others more. But there's no one that the Lord has overlooked when it comes to the giving of talents. Do we use those talents in the service of the Lord? And does it bring us joy to be able to use them for the Lord? You turn, please, to Matthew 25. Matthew 25. And verse 21. Matthew 25 and verse 21. And verse 20. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliveredest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. There's the service and the joy of the Lord. The talents that had been given had been put to good use. And the individual had received the commendation of his Lord. Well done. Isn't that what we're all after? Well done. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And you look again in verse 23. His Lord, his individual, had 2 talents. Put them to use. And I have gained 2 other talents beside them. Verse 23. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Or of thy Lord. My, whenever you do something for God, use the talents the Lord has given. You do. You do enter into the joy of the Lord. You're just glad. Just glad that you've been able to do some little thing for the Lord. And you know that He has done so much for us. We shall enter into that joy which the Lord had. Nobody said, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy may remain in you, and your joy may be full. It's the Lord's joy that He gives to us. And the Lord Jesus was full of joy, being able to serve His Heavenly Father. Listen to these words. Referring to Christ, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. He endured the cross and he despised the shame, and he did it all with joy because he was going to purchase salvation for you and me, and that filled Christ with joy. And that's the joy we have. And that's the joy we are to exhibit and show forth, the joy of the Lord. Like the 70 disciples whom the Lord sent out to minister, and they returned. And we read in Luke 10 and verse 17, and the 70 returned with joy. They'd gone out at the Lord's bidding and the Lord's command to serve the Lord, and whenever they returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. They returned with joy because they had accomplished something for the Lord. Did that not fill us with joy? Because we accomplished something for God. Did it not fill us with joy to hear the well done of God? When we do what we can, like Mary when she anointed the Lord and the disciples criticized her, the Lord said, let her alone. She had done what she could. And that's all the Lord expects of us, to do what we can. And when we do what we can, we'll receive the well done of God and we'll be filled with joy. That's what it is, you see, to have the joy of the Lord. Not only does the joy of the Lord have to do with our work for the Lord, but our worship of the Lord. Through what they had learned from the Word of God that Ezra had read that day and expounded, Israel knew that there were things that had to be put right. They had been in exile, they had been in captivity for 70 years. Many things had been neglected. Many things pertaining to the worship of Jehovah had been neglected. And they heard the word, and that's what brought about the conviction and the contrition and the tears and the mourning and the sorrow. And now they want to put those things right. And we read then in verse 13, and on the second day were gathered together the chief of the fathers and of all the people, the priests and the Levites, unto Ezra the scribe, even to understand the words of the law. They're back again the next day to hear the word. And they found written in the law which the Lord had commanded by Moses that the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month. And these things should have been attended to. As you read in verse 17. And when they sought to put these things right and attend to the things they had neglected for so long with regard to the worship of God. What do we read in verse 17? And there was very great gladness. Doing what was right with regard to the worship of the Lord filled their hearts with gladness. This is the joy of the Lord. And what they were told about or were rebuked about and sought to put right, they put it right and they did it willingly. Willingly. Because of the joy of the Lord in their heart. And the joy of the Lord enabled them to do that. Believer, you can be sure that whatever the Lord commands us to do, if you obey Him and obey Him willingly and with the joy of the Lord in your heart, you'll have even greater joy. You put things right put things right with the Lord. John 16, verse 25, the Lord said, "Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full." It's talking about prayer. We put things right with regard to prayer. If prayer is being neglected, and the Word of God speaks to us about it and challenges us about it, and we put it right, the Lord says, your joy will be full. Because you see, there is joy. There really is joy in prayer. Isaiah 56 verse 7, the Lord said, "I will make them joyful in my house of prayer." The Lord in His Word tells us about prayer. The Lord in His Word tells us about praise. About praising Him. And praising Him with joy. Isaiah 52 verse 9. "Break forth into joy. Sing together." You see, believer, we're to sing with joy. If we have the joy of the Lord in our hearts, we'll sing with joy. If the joy of the Lord's not there, we may sing, but we'll not be singing with joy. I told you before about the Hallelujah Bread Man. One of the towns in Ulster, he drove around his bread cart and delivered bread and pastry, etc. He was a Christian man, and people used to hear him come down the street singing at the top of his voice. And he got the name of the Hallelujah Bread Man. He had the joy of the Lord in his heart. He was serving the Lord. And it made him glad. And finally, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Dr. Andrew Bonner said, "Cultivate joy as much as you cultivate honesty and uprightness." And he said, "The oil of joy calms down the waves of trouble." The joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord becomes our strength when we think upon Him. You just think about the Lord. Just meditate. In your time of trouble or distress or sorrow, just think on the Lord. Remember David at Ziklag? When the few men he had were ready to stone him, when they saw the city burned and their loved ones taken away, they were ready to stone David. And we're told in 1 Samuel 30 and verse 6 that David encouraged himself in the Lord. The word "encourage" means to strengthen self. That's how he strengthened himself. He thought about the Lord. And the Lord, if we think upon Him, the joy will return. And the joy of the Lord will be our strength. Again, David said in Psalm 39, verse 3, "While I was musing," the word "musing" means earnest meditation. "While I was musing," while I was meditating, "the fire burned." Fire of joy and love in his heart burned. And when the fire burns, the fire of joy, the joy of the Lord will be our strength. It will see us through. The joy of the Lord is our strength when we think of Him. The joy of the Lord is our strength in trial. Earlier on, we quoted the words of Habakkuk, chapter 3, and verse 17, where Habakkuk said, "Yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. But when did he say those words? Was it when everything was going well? Did he say those words whenever he was prospering? No, the very opposite. Habakkuk 3 verse 17. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stall. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. There it is. The joy of the Lord was his strength in time of trial. When there was no fruit on the vines or the olive tree, there was no herds in the stall. Habakkuk said, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. And he will make my feet like hinds' feet. And he will make me to walk upon mine high places. To the chief singer. And my stringed instrument. Everything had failed around him. And yet he rejoiced in the Lord. And he's still wanting to sing. He gave these words to those who played on stringed instruments. We're going to sing, he said. We're going to sing. The joy of the Lord is our strength when we think on him. Joy of the Lord is our strength in trial, in time of trial, and in the time of temptation. The devil comes with us, tempting us, promising us many things. But when you think of it, if you have the joy of the Lord, there's nothing the devil can give you, no matter what it is, that can add to that joy. It does the opposite. It takes away from the joy. And so when the devil comes and tempts us, and we have the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord will see us through the temptation. Because we know the devil can't give us anything. We have everything we need. Everything that satisfies us in Jesus Christ. And that joy will be our strength in time of temptation. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. May we go from God's house today rejoicing in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let us bow in prayer. Our Father and our loving God, we bless thee for the one who is the Lord of our joy. If we had not the Lord, we would not have the joy. If we had not the Lord, we would not have the happiness and the peace that we have. O Lord, we thank thee for the Lord of our joy. And may we go from God's house today rejoicing in the Lord, rejoicing in him. And even as Brother Bonner said, help us, Lord, to cultivate this joy as much as we would cultivate honesty and uprightness. So our gracious Lord, help us in this matter of cultivating our joy. For we need help. How we let circumstances get us down and rule us. Lord, help us to rejoice in the Lord. For the joy of the Lord is our strength. We ask thee, Lord, that thou would write the word upon our hearts. And be with us, Lord, as we leave the house of God. May thy good hand be upon us in our journey. And return us tonight, Lord, again to spend time with thee in the Lord's house. in the Lord's presence on the Lord's day. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now until the day breaks and the shadows all flee away. Amen.